So he has seen the worst of the worst and the best of the best. And what I believe is happening is that he is relating to us as he is visually moving through the rivers and the roads of vertical time, the range of possibilities that he is seeing as potential futures only. Because then he goes on to describe a very, very powerful key. It's a key that's known sometimes as the key of redemption. Isaiah begins to describe a key that he calls the mysterious mountain. And I'll just share some of this key with you, and then we'll discuss what it means. Isaiah says, within a mountain. So he's described all of his visions of the future, all the death, the destruction, the peace, and the joy. And now he's saying, within this mountain, he says, you will find a refuge for the poor, a refuge to the needy in distress. Within this mountain, you'll find shelter from the rain, shade from the heat. He says, from the mountain, this mysterious mountain, he says, the veil that veils all peoples, the web that is woven over all nations will be destroyed. That is a direct quote out of Isaiah's text. The web that is woven over all nations will be destroyed. What is Isaiah's key? What is this mountain all about? Well, for hundreds of years, scholars taking this as a literal scripture have searched for a physical mountain throughout the Middle East. They're saying, wow, a mountain where people are healed and where the deaf can hear and the eyes can see. This is the kind of mountain we'd like to find. Where is this mountain? Well, is it possible that Isaiah's mountain was not a physical mountain at all? And the answer to that question lies in the language of Isaiah's description itself, in the ancient Hebrew language. When I'm speaking of the Dead Sea Scrolls, the languages that the scrolls were recorded in have been key in helping us understand and translate and decipher what they are actually conveying to us. The primary languages that these scrolls were written in are ancient biblical Hebrew, Aramaic, and a smattering of Greek. And it is the ancient biblical Hebrew word for the mountain that Isaiah is describing that offers the clue of what he may be inviting us to change in our lives. So let's look at the word mountain. In biblical Hebrew, the word mountain itself, during the time that's believed that the scrolls were written, the word mountain was a symbolic reference. It's not a reference to a physical mountain at all. It's a symbolic reference used to represent a place that is called the heavenly Jerusalem. The heavenly Jerusalem. So the mountain is a metaphor for heavenly Jerusalem. It might help a little bit, but now we have to ask, what is a heavenly Jerusalem? We know we don't have a physical mountain, but are we really much better off with something called a heavenly Jerusalem? What does that mean? Well, if we research further in the ancient text and the way the translations have come about, we find something fascinating. Something fascinating unfolds before our eyes in these translations. Because in biblical Hebrew, the word for Jerusalem is Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, and it translates literally to the vision of peace. The vision of peace. Yerushalayim translates into the vision of peace. So if we go back into the original text and we replace what Isaiah is saying to us with the translation that we've just developed over the last few moments, what we find is Isaiah is saying, within the vision of peace, we find a refuge to the poor. Within a vision of peace, we find a refuge to the needy in distress. It's from a vision of peace that we find shelter from the rain, shade from the heat, and it is from the vision of peace that the veil that veils all peoples, the web that is woven over all nations, will be destroyed. And Isaiah goes on then to describe that from this vision of peace, if we can embody this in our lives, that we do not need to experience the most frightening visions of our future that he has seen from his place and time. The vision of peace. Well, this understanding and understandings like this offer fresh insight into Isaiah's message specifically, and to other kinds of message in general. If we can take one specific prophecy, such as what Isaiah is sharing with us, and we can unravel the code that has been left for us in this prophecy, then that one becomes essentially a template. Once we understand one, we can take those understanding and overlay them onto other ancient prophecies and see if maybe there are not similar hidden codes or hidden references, verbal codes or references to something that we can do in our lives in those places.